about to begin a new sugya in terms of a chol hamoed. That's the issue of mechaber malachta b'moed. A person could want to be involved in an activity in chol hamoed that really intrinsically is permissible in chol hamoed. It meets the criteria, whatever those criteria are, davar ovitz or chol hamoed, whatever the case may be. But the person was mechaber malachta b'moed. The person set up in such a way that he's not going to do the work on chol hamoed. So here, the first of the mamakamos, the Mishnah and my cotton of the Mishnah tells us that machnes adam peroso bregan, that a person is permitted to gather his fruit if he's afraid that if somebody's going to steal the fruit out in the fields. Visholah pishtalim in amishra, a person is permitted to bring his flax out of the place where it's soaking. Bishloshal tevah, even though those are things which are normally would be off limits on chol hamoed, but here the person is doing it because of davar aved, so that would be permissible. However, the Mishnah qualifies on the condition that he doesn't plan it during the service. He knows in advance he's got to take the fruit out before Yom Tov, and he dilly dallies before Yom Tov, knowing that he has extra time in chol hamoed. He knows that he can get he has plenty of time to remove the flax from before Yom Tov, but he doesn't do it because he's planning on doing it in chol hamoed when he has more time. So that's what's called mechaber malachta b'moed, and the Mishnah says that would be prohibited. And Bekula and Kibru Malachta Memoid Yuvedu. And if a person violated this halacha, and he in fact was Mechabi Malachta Memoid, because he could have done it from before Yom Tov, and he plans to do it Dafka Chol Hamoed, Yuvedu. So something's got to get lost. It's unclear what that phrase means, going to get lost. We'll see as we go on. Different opinions in the Rishonim. So this is basically the sugya, the background of the sugya, of Mechabi Malachta Memoid. Again, different activities that basically are mutter in terms of Chol Hamoed. They're classic number of it. And nevertheless, the halacha is that they are prohibited because of mechaber malachta b'moed. Even though the phrase is mechaber malachta b'moed, the word malach of course conjures up a very specific image in terms of something which is also b'taras malach and chol hamoed. We've already seen that there are certain activities that are prohibited in chol hamoed, even though they're not necessarily malachos. You can have a type of a tircha, it's an unnecessary tircha, even if it doesn't involve malacha, actual malacha, may also be prohibited under certain circumstances on chol hamoed. So what would the halacha be if we had not a mechaber malachta b'moed in the sense of lavatas malachos, but mechaber ma'isa b'moed? A person can take care of a certain activity before Yom Tov, and he chooses not to, and he's mechaber it the Yom Tov. He deliberately plans on doing it on chol hamoed. But it's not a malacha, it's a lower level of chol hamoed. It's a tircha that gives chol hamoed. Would we find the prohibition of mechaber malachta b'moed applying to this? So maybe one could be mendaik from the Lashon HaGemara, from Lashon HaMishnah, Mavach Bechavis Malachta B'mayit. So maybe this Isser only applies when it's something which involves Malacha. So here the Rishonim tell us that this is not the case. The Mordechai points out that it doesn't seem to be true, that distinction doesn't seem to be correct, because the very example that Chazal gave of Mechavis Malachta B'mayit, Chazal gave two examples. One is Machnis Perosov, and one is Shola Pishtano. So Machnis Perosov doesn't really involve any malacha. It means the guy's got his fruit in the backyard or something, so loves after there's any malacha involved in taking the fruit back into the house. And Alpha Pichay, the Mishnah says, the Mishnah concludes, with Ashle Chavir has quote-unquote malachta b'mayit. So you see that the term malachta b'mayit should not be taken with such absolute precision. The mechaber malachta b'mayid, but malacha here means anything that you could theoretically have done on chol hamoed, because it's a gavravid, whatever the heck that would have been. So anything that would have been mutter because of a specific heter on chol hamoed, but the ikaron should not be done. Because you really shouldn't be taking your fruit, and you really shouldn't be taking your pishtim out of the mishra. Anything which in theory would be prohibited on chol hamoed, maybe tam malacha, maybe tam tircha, maybe tam kolda, whatever the reason is, whatever would have been also in chol hamoed, there's a heter of davar aved, comes mechaber malachta b'mayit, and trumps that heter and puts it back into the original category. So that distinction between malacha and not malacha doesn't seem to be borne out by the Lashon HaMishnah. This is this prohibition of mechaber malachta b'mayit. So how do we understand this in light of the machlokes that we've shown him? Whether malachas chol hamoed is deraisa, derabanan. So we of course have an age-old machlokes we've been talking about for almost a year, about whether the prohibitions of malach and chol hamoed are rooted in deraisa or not. Now we had so many different permutations in the Rishonim. We had some Rishonim who said that all of it was chol hamoed is derabanan. The whole institution of malach and chol hamoed is derabanan. That was Rabbeinu Tamshit in the Tosfos quotes. Then there were other Rishonim who said that malach and chol hamoed is deraisa, and of course we had problems with that. How could the prohibition of malachas chol hamoed be midaraisa if we find so many different kulas, davar aved, tzarech hayom, maaserat, tzarech hirav, etc.? So we had different answers, different approaches in the Rishonim. So the Sefer Chinuch took the approach that That's Lomasar Kalsa B'Chachamim, that the Chachamim were the ones who create the guidelines for Hilchos Chol HaMoed. That the Torah gave us a very general issa. You have to treat Chol HaMoed different from the rest of the year. How that expressed itself in terms of details, so unlike Shabbos and Yom Kippur, when the details were Nimson of Moshe Rabbeinu, here the details weren't given to Moshe Rabbeinu. The klal was, Chol HaMoed's got to be different. You have to act the Chol HaMoed like you differently than you act the rest of the year. But in terms of what's also, what's mutter, whatever the Chachamim say, so the Rebbe Hashem gives a stamp of approval to that. So then we had other Rishonim who distinguished within Tzarchei Yom and not Tzarchei Yom and Malachas Mechumber and not Malachas Mechumber. We had a half dozen different opinions in the Rishonim whether Malach and Chol HaMoed is as a Chashash of Midiraita, whether it's purely Midirabbanan. So here, Tosfos points out, based on the Lashon HaGemara, we'll talk about a little bit later on, here it seems quite clear that Mechave Malach Chol HaMoed is not an Issa D'Oraisa. Nobody would ever say, even the biggest Machmirim in Hilchos Chol HaMoed, would never say that Mechave Malach Chol HaMoed is really D'Oraisa. Because after all, we're dealing with an activity which is basically permissible. It means what you're doing is Avrovei. What you're doing is something which does meet the criteria of Hilchos Chol HaMoed, and for your neighbor, it will be mutter. So you have two guys, they're doing the exact same activity. One of them was saying is mutter, one of them was saying is asa. Because the neighbor didn't have the opportunity to clean up his field on Erev Yontif, whereas you did, and you dilly dallied and you pushed it off to Chol HaMoed. So it's the same exact activity. It's the same davar aved. So Reuven is mutter, Shimon is asa.
Can't you have that case where it's a davar aved for one but not for another? Even without...
Okay, maybe, so maybe my marshal isn't the strongest to illustrate this, but Taisa says that anyway. Taisa says that it doesn't appear that Mechavim Malach Tememayit should be the Araisa. Mechavim Malach Tememayit is more of a Knas-oriented thing. It's more that the Chavim said, listen, don't take advantage of Hilchos Chol HaMoed, treat Chol HaMoed properly. If you can avoid it, avoid it. But to say that on the level of the Araisa, there's an issue of Mechavim Malach Tememayit, Taisa doesn't believe that could be true. And in fact, Taisa Shita is in fact supported by a Gemara. We'll get to a little bit later.
When you say the malach is not also, you mean the action?
Well, the action that you're doing
of gathering fruit is not also.
Well, it's not a malach. It would have been also normally on Chol HaMoed al Satir Chol Meruba.
Right.
But here it should be mutter because it's b'dagan of him, because it's a davar of it. So we're dealing with something which should.
So it's not a davar of it. As you say, he postponed.
No. It's a davar of it, but it's mechaf malach to HaMoed.
So, he could have done it before.
He's going to lose his fruit. At the end of the day, if he doesn't bring in this fruit on Chol HaMoed, he's going to lose his fruit. And we still tie his hands and say he's not allowed to do it because he was Mechavim Malachim HaMoed. So this issue of Mechavim Malachim HaMoed, that a person is not allowed to plan to do his Malach on Chol HaMoed. If he does, we're not going to let him do it. So there's no question this issue exists. This is the Beferish Mishnah, the Beferish Gemara, the whole Sugya and Daf Yud Beis. It's clear that this prohibition applies not only to Malachas, it applies to Tirchas also. Anything that's Asur on Chol HaMoed, if the heter is based on davar aved, if it's mechavim malach to memoed, it's prohibited. And the third thing that's clear already from the beginning of the sugya is that we're most probably not dealing with the din d'oraisa. This, the chol hadayis, would only be the d'rabba. This is not the real mekoyim malach and chol hamoed. The Rambam, in the second of the Mamakomos, in Hilchos Yontif, Perek Zayin, Hilchos Daled, defines for us a little bit more precisely what constitutes Mechavim Malach HaMoed. So comes the Rambam and introduces to us this halacha. V'asa le'adam she'yiskaven v'ya'acher malachos elu v'chayotzimahem v'yanicham kidei la'sosan b'moed v'pnei shehu panui v'chol ha'mechavim malachta v'yanicha l'moed v'asan b'moed v'yit ma'avir osa mefkirnas alakom. So comes the Rambam and says, that what exactly does Mechavim Malach HaMoed mean? So the Rambam threw in three words. The Rambam's telling you, why is it that a person would be Mechavim Malach HaMoed? So the answer is obvious. He's got a lot less things to do in Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed, he has to go to work. He doesn't open the business of Chol HaMoed. So Chol HaMoed is a good time to take care of all those repairs around the house that he never got to. So, and then he turns around and he says, "Chadav Rave, if I don't bring in my fruit, they're going to get stolen. And if I don't take in my flax, it's going to get ruined." So the person could have done it before Yom Tov, but he deliberately avoided doing it because he knew that he has extra time, he has free time on Chol HaMoed. That's what the Rambam says with Beishu upon him. What is the Rambam feel
in it? The Machel is on the Afka. What is he doing things that you can do next week? And you're doing it now because you have free time.
Right, okay. But the Rambam is even willing to talk about things which now, as push comes to shove, if you don't do it now, it's going to get ruined. So comes So l'chayr, we have to raise the question, why does the Rambam feel the necessity to plug in these three words, Rebnei Shupanoi? The Rambam's giving you a psychological evaluation of why people delay doing things. Rebnei Shupanoi? Who cares why he's not doing it? I'm sorry, I've come in with dinas. Mechav lachtum, mechav lachtum, who cares why? So Kavu Poskim and Medayik and Lashon Rambam, that the Rambam was very, very careful in his Lashon, that the Rambam meant to tell you that this phrase of Reishu Ponui really defines the very essence of Mechavim Lachtim Moed. I mean, this is in a sense a condition, this is a prerequisite to label something as Mechavim Lachtim Moed. It's really only true if the reason why you're delaying is Reishu Ponui. That means your plan is, you have a specific plan about how to work out your time schedule. I'm dafka going to delay to do things in Erev Yom Tov because I have more time on Chol HaMoed. That and only that is considered to be mechavim malachta b'moed. What if, that's not at all the case, what if the reason why I'm quote unquote mechavim malachta b'moed, I could have arranged my schedule in other words, but the reason why I didn't arrange my schedule to do the work for before Yom Tov is not because I'm trying to push things off the Chol HaMoed, not because I'm punting on Yom Tov and I have more time, but it comes out much better for me in terms of my whole calculations, in terms of my whole cheshbonos of life. It turns out that there are other considerations, there are other external considerations why I'm pushing off this work to Chol HaMoed, not because punting b'moed, that is not what my intention is. Like that just for some other reason. Is that called Mechave Malachta B'moed or not? So come a group of Poskim and say, from the simple reading of the Rambam, that's not called Mechave Malachta B'moed. That even though it's technically Mechave Malachta B'moed, I mean, I know I could have done it before, and I'm planning on doing it in Chol HaMoed, but the reason why I'm planning on doing it in Chol HaMoed is not because of Reishu Ponui, but because I have something else to gain. I have some other benefits, some other advantage that I have, which is a very different cheshbon. So maybe that's not considered to be Mechave Malachta B'moed. So we had a.
Is the Issa of Hanoi an Indian of Shavuot Yom Tov, an Indian of Simchas Yom Tov? I mean, it has Hanoi by itself. The meal. I mean, what is the Issa the Rambam is giving us?
The Rambam's not telling you between parties. Isn't it? The Rambam's telling
utilizing the concept that I'll be Hanoi.
Right. So that's the zilzul of Yom Tov. That's like saying like, well, Yom Tov is. Yom Tov is like nothing. You're just going to plan your whole work around doing work on Yom Tov, doing work on Chol HaMoed. That's not appropriate. If there's some other real reason, a good reason why it ends up that you have to do this extra malach on Chol HaMoed, okay? So if it's davar avet, whatever it is, if it's mutter, it's mutter.
Do we have that platform on Shabbos and Yom Tov?
No, because the Shabbos and Yom Tov is a different story. Shabbos and Yom Tov, we're talking about objective activities, either it's us or it's mutter. Chol HaMoed, so there's a the concept of zilzul Chol HaMoed plays a much greater role in terms of what was Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed is again is a mesorah kos
l'chacham. But we can have that because it's the point of Ramban. There is an Indian of Yom Tov, the Shabbos, that the Shabbos itself has a certain kedusha, the way you behave, the way you act, and what you do. So it's not just the melacha of lametz melachos. Right. It's also the act, the brechol. So if you have in mind that you're going to do something, why would that, you know? Why does Chol HaMoed have a special Indian different Shabbos?
Because right, Shabbos and Yom Tov, either something is also something is mutter. So either it is a malacha or it's not a malacha on the level of deraisa. And Chol HaMoed, you can have something which is a malacha, and it's still going to be matrit because there's some other tzorach called tzorach hayom, or tzorach rabim, whatever of it. So Chol HaMoed, we're working with something which is intrinsically usar, which we want to be matir, and now we're going to be asher it again because it's mechavim malachta. So it's a little bit different than Shabbos and Yom Tov.
The Mishnah Pana is not in a case where you, lemaisa, just have the time there because you would maybe prefer to do it before. But that must be you know that you will have this time.
Yeah, but that's what Reish Uponi means. That's exactly what it means.
No, the difference you said if you could have done it before.
No, I'm saying if you could have done it before and the reason you made a calculation, I'm not going to do it before because before I'm very rushed in Erev Yom Tov. But Chol HaMoed, I got all day to do nothing, so I'll fix my flats then.
Okay, so versus I really can't do it before, but lemaisa, I know in advance that I will have the time.
No, if you can't, if you really can't,
but you know that in advance.
But if you really can't, your mom's hands are tied. That's not mechav lachta b'moed b'chlal. I mean, I'm not planning on doing Chol HaMoed. I'm stuck. What can I do? It's honest.
So you have to
be honest. You and the Rebbe Shalom, could you have done it before? Now, I'm talking about a situation where I know I could do it before. There's no question I could take care of it before. But the reason why I'm pushing it off, is not because of Mirei Shupanui, it's for some other reason.
Like, for example, your son is coming home with Chalamot, he'll be home with Chalamot, it'll make it easier for me to do it if he's home. I'm having the luck of the mowing.
Right. Okay, so we'll give some examples. We'll give some concrete examples. So we actually gave an example of this, I think at the end of the year, last year, when we were speaking about laundry and Chalamot. So remember, we mentioned that basically, the Yerushalmi test goes through Yerushalmi, a big diktanim, that you're allowed to wash children's clothing on Chalamot. That's considered a tzarech hayom. I mean, little kids get the clothes dirty all the time. So that was never included in the Yisr of Kibbutz. So the post can discuss the following Shaila. A couple young kids, they're going away for Yontif. They know they're going to their parents for Yontif. So what should be their calculation in terms of how many clothes to bring? So should we say that it's okay, they can bring 3 days worth of clothes to make it through the first days of Yom Tov, and then Chalamay, they'll start to wash the clothes, because after all, big diktan of his mutter. But do we say, no, you can't do that. That's Mechavim Malach to the Moed. We should insist that you bring 10 suitcases worth of clothes. You have to bring enough to last you for 8 days, to thereby alleviate the necessity of doing a malacha on Chalamay. So there are some who wanted to argue that Mechavim Malach to the Moed. If I know in advance that I can avoid doing the malacha, and I don't take any precautions to avoid it, that's mechav malach to b'moyed and tough, then you can't do the laundry in chalamayid. So we pointed out at the time that
the Zal didn't have the expectation that you'd have 10 loads of clothing.
The question is, in Okinami, let's say a person's home, and a person has a week worth of clothing, so then you're talking not supposed to wash your kid's clothing, but you can only wash your big diktana when it's really necessary. So came a group of posts we mentioned at the end of the year last year, who said that maybe that's called Mechav Malach Temoed. It's a new chumri, you got to travel with your 10 suitcases. So we pointed out that others disagree. And the svar that others disagree was based on the Lashon HaRav, if you remember. They quoted the Lashon HaRav, and they said, on Erev Yom Tov, stop the guy and ask the guy, why do you want to bring 3 suitcases? Why don't you bring 100? Why do you bring 10 suitcases? So he's going to say to you, because, I'm going to be putting on Chalamay to do the laundry. That's the reason why. So the reason why you're bringing 3 suitcases and 10 suitcases, because you don't want to slap 10 suitcases. So that's not doing Chalamay. That's a totally external reason. So that's not called Mechav Lach Nebemay. I mean, it's called technically Mechav Lach Nebemay, but it's not because of Neishu Panoi. That's not your incentive. And many folks have said that based on the Lashon HaRambam, that would not be a problem. So it's based on this Lashon HaRambam that we come to perhaps the most important shaila maisa in terms of mechavin malach to b'moed that we have is manazet. You have a situation where a person has X amount of vacation days. That's the setup that he has. And we've already said in the past that if a person's afraid they're going to lose their job, that's called a davar avid. Ein lecha davar avid gadol mizuh. A person's afraid they're going to lose their job. On the other hand, if a person's not going to lose their job, they're just not going to get paid for that day, that's not called a davar avid. That's what we call in halacha menias harevach. That's called not making profit. So that you're not allowed to do. There's no hetter of menias harevach al chalamoy. The hetter is davar avid. So a person has a setup. He has an arrangement.
I'll go back to the question I asked last time based on what you're now saying. Let's say because of menias harevach, he's not making money by working on the days of Chol HaMoed, he cannot celebrate the last days of Yom in any way, fashion.
Okay, so we have to get there. That's called Pol. I think we have to get to that a little bit later on. If a person has to work, he's going Mamash Miyad L'Peh.
No, I'm not talking about Yad L'Peh. A person, you know, he has, but if he would earn money during those 3 days or 4 days of Chol HaMoed,
we'll talk about that a little bit later. So a person has the following arrangement with his boss. He has X amount of vacation days, and if he takes those vacation days, that's fine. The boss will pay him for it. Yes, pay, not pay, whatever it is. So, but he's not going to lose his job. He's entitled to 10 vacation days during the course of the year. So now, the following shaila. Comes June, comes July, June's over, the kids finish school, comes July, he wants to go on vacation. He wants to go away for 2 weeks with his family. But now he starts to make a calculation. If he goes away for the next 2 weeks, so he takes his 10 vacation days now, what's going to happen? In 2 months from now, it's going to be Chol HaMoed Sukkis. And Chol HaMoed Sukkis, he's not going to have any more vacation days in the bank. So now he's going to be forced to work on Chol HaMoed, because if he doesn't come to work on Chol HaMoed, he's going to dover over, he's going to lose his job. Now again, if he has a type of a setup that he's not going to lose his job ever, he's entitled to unlimited non-paid vacation days, I mean, not limited within reason, so then that's not called dover over, not even the ball called dover over. But I'm talking about a guy, if he uses up his vacation days, and now he turns around to the boss and says, listen, I'm not coming anymore, the boss says, very nice, don't come back to work anymore. So what would that locha be in such a case? A guy wants to go on vacation in July, knowing full well that by going on vacation in July, that's going to force him, in a sense, to work on Chol HaMoed, which is he's going to invoke the heter of Dover Avi. It's not going to be a malach of the Isser, it's going to be a malach of the heter, because he's afraid he's going to lose his job. But he, in effect, created that scenario. Maybe the halacha requires of him in July to not go on vacation, to save his vacation days for Chol HaMoed. What is the halacha? Is that called mechaven malach b'moed or not? For some folks, he wanted a tiny yes. It means it's also to take your vacation days in July if you know in advance that you're going to need them for a Chol HaMoed Sukkos, and then you can't turn around Chol HaMoed Sukkos after you took them and go turn around and cry and scream that it's not a davar avi, it's not a davar avi. You should have planned otherwise. That's what some suggested. So others were makel. So Rav Moshe was makel in the Shaila. And the reason why Rav Moshe was makel was based on these three words of the Rambam. Yipnei shu paroi. Says with Moshe, why is the guy planning his vacation in such a way? Why is the guy doing this? Yipnei shu paroi? That's not why he's doing it. The reason why it's being a quote-unquote mechav alach to the Moed, his kids are home in July. It's better. He wants to go vacation in July. He wants to go, he doesn't want to go vacation in the middle of October. That's not a prime time to go on vacation. So the reason why the guy is making this calculation, which is in a sense forcing him to the corner to work in Chol HaMoed, doesn't emanate from the fact that Neshu Panoi, that he's being mezalzel in Chol HaMoed, that he's had all the time in the world of Chol HaMoed to play around, and therefore he's going to take care of his flax and his fruit on Chol HaMoed. That's not at all what the person's incentive was. The person's incentive was because it works out more convenient for him. It says, Rabbi, that's my call, Mechav Malach to the Moed, because that's my call with Neshu Panoi, and therefore it would be mutter to do that. That's what Rabbi Moshe Paskin. However,
I'm sorry, that's in the case where the boss would otherwise let him go?
Yeah, if the boss won't let him go, so then it's not the problem of Chlal. If the boss is not going to let him go, so then
it's just unpaid vacation.
So he won't go. Right, unpaid vacation. For sure he won't go to there, right? So then Ramesh goes one step further. What about the following case, which at first glance sounds very similar? Nine a little bit. It's somewhat different. What if the person has to use his vacation days by the end of the year? By December 31st, either use them or lose them. So now, he's holding on Chol HaMoed, and he's got 10 more days in the bank, so he's ready to roll, he has 10 days in the bank, but he's got planned for November a 10-day cruise. He wants to go on a vacation after Chol HaMoed, between Chol HaMoed and the end of December. That's his planning of vacation. So the guy's going to say, the Chadover Aved. The same way you let my colleague take his vacation in July, I'll smach that you're allowed to take your vacation days, and we don't call it Mechav Alach to B'Moed. So my wife didn't want to go in July. She wants to go away in November on a cruise. So I'm gonna go to work in Chol HaMoed, and I'm going to save my vacation days for November for the cruise. So Rav Moshe says, that you can't do. Rav Moshe says, that's out of the question. Because Ba'asher Husham, when you're going to work in Chol HaMoed, where's the Davar Avid? What's the Davar Avid? Right now, you call up your boss and say, listen, I can't come in for the next 5 days. The boss will say, fine, no problem. We'll just cross off 5 days of vacation. The boss is not going to fire the guy. So Bishas Maisa on Chol HaMoed, when he goes into work, he's not working for the Davar Avid. He's working to make extra money. So that's not called the Davar Avid. In the first case, where when October comes and he has no days in the bank, it's not a davar avid. How did he get into that rut in the first place? Because he went on vacation in July. Okay, so he's allowed to do that. That's not called mechav alach to the moed. So when the first day Chol HaMoed comes and he's going into work, then he's got his back to the corner. He says, yeah, the halacha says that's not a davar avid. That's okay. But in the second case, with Bishas Maisa, when he goes into work, he's got another 10 days left in the bank. What kind of davar avid is that? That's a zero. So that's taka also. So according to Rav Moshe, you have to plan your vacations accordingly. But again, this is all assuming you're going to lose your job otherwise. If you're not going to lose your job otherwise, so then you can do whatever you want. Just take your days off and Chol HaMoed and don't get paid. But if you're going to lose your job, it's a chashash of davar avid. So then you have to make sure that although we're not machmer on the mechav alach to b'moed angle, but in the second case where the days are still there in the bank, then you're taka b'chuk to take them.
Let's say the type of job you do has rippling effect on other people in your company. If you do not come in that day, it's a wasted day for them. The boss will let them go because you are the one who starts off the process
Okay, so that could be a Dover Ovid for other people. Dover Ovid is not only for me, Dover Ovid is for other people also. If I see that somebody else's field is getting ruined, I'm allowed to go and fix that field also.
So I can go it.
If that's the Metzius. The Metzius HaDvarim is that it's a Dover Ovid for other people. Again, not just Minyas HaRevah.
Goyim and non-Goyim. And Yidin.
I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure that Dover Ovid would do that.
For the whole company.
Yeah, I'm not
sure. It's a non-Jewish company.
Again, that being a Dover Ovid for the company may cost you also. I mean, at the end of the day, ultimately, may cause you. Again, so again, you have to, I don't know, you have to figure out to see each case and see.
You have these vacation days coming to you. What about any day that you take off? But legally, legitimate vacation day. It's double over for the rest of the crew, too. Yeah, but some say, but here's the situation.
I'm talking about just forgetting about the other right. And then the other situation, you have the same double over.
Yeah, I don't get the vacation. My job calls for, I don't get vacation. Or everybody, that company has a vacation policy that you must take, like in the Diamond District. Everybody takes vacation the first 2 weeks of July. That's it. They all close.
That's okay.
No. But some say now. So nobody's closing away.
It's a different story.
And I could take off Al Gavni, so I'll lose a couple of days of pay or whatever it is, but everybody else is going to lose also. That's the question.
Not every Shem don't say one way or the other. Other Shem don't really describe why. I don't know if anyone's Mechal. I mean, there are some Achron who didn't pick up on it, who didn't make a fuss out of this issue finally, and said, the Ram is just describing, what the Metzius is. The Ram didn't mean to be, create a halacha base out of it. Moshe picked up on this lashon and really, really emphasized it.
And the Tosfos that says that there's definitely is there only that this case is that they're up on, and he holds this is a vibe that warm law.
No, Tosfos happened, and Tosfos holds. The Tosfos quotes today is about Chol HaMoed. But even though the Gemara says pretty much the favorish that Mecham Lach Tumod is the Rabbanon, Tosfos says don't extrapolate from there to mean that all of Chol HaMoed is the Rabbanon. Maybe it is, maybe it's not, but you can't bring a raya from this because Mecham Lach Tumod is Mokal because what you're doing, Lamaiza.
But you could bring a raya from here that there's been a Mecham Lach Tumod.
Right. But that's for sure. So the Gemara had a strange phrase. The Mishnah had a strange phrase in terms of what happens if a person violates the halacha and he goes ahead and he is mechav malach to b'moed. So the Mishnah concluded by saying the kulam kibnu malach to b'moed yevedu that it has to literally get lost. It means it gets destroyed what the person did. So what exactly does that phrase mean? So if we go back to the Rambam in the second of Rambam Kamos, so in the second line the Rambam says v'chol mechaven. Says the Rambam, you know what Yovedu means? Yovedu means that if a person went ahead and violated this halacha, he went ahead and he took his flax out of the Meimishra, out of the water, and now it's sitting in his house, and he's laughing up his sleeve, he's saying, aha, I just violated the halacha, Beizim will knock on his door and confiscate his flax. I mean, the manche, the Beizim will go ahead and take away the guy's stuff. That's what it means, Yovedu. Well, let's say the guy went ahead and he was machdis perosa v'pneganovim, even though what he did was quote unquote dover of it. If it was mechavim alachta b'mayid, so Beizim will go ahead and they will take away the fruit. It'll be mafkir l'kol, because that's what the connotation of the word Yovedu means. It's such a knas, it's such a penalty, l'achra maisa, that even can go ahead and destroy what the person did. Even though the Rambam sounds like quite a chumrah, it would appear that within the Rambam's chumrah is a kula, because the Rambam presents it, the Rambam formulates it, that Beizin is mechuyif, ma'abid, mafkir, and so on. What if Beizin doesn't do it? What if Lamaisa Beizin doesn't have a kerch? Beizin, we live in America, the Beizin is not running around taking away people's stuff from them. So the Rambam doesn't say you're not allowed to be nehne from it. The Rambam doesn't say the guy himself is also has to throw it to the garbage. The Rambam says that Beizin, it's incumbent upon Beizin to be mechazik, the hilchos Chol HaMoed, to throw the guy's stuff out. But let's say Beizin never got around, but Kudah doesn't have the authority to do it. The Rambam doesn't record that there's an issue to use the object. That's not what Yovedu means. So Rashi doesn't sound the way. Rashi in my cotton sounds like Yovedu even more common than the Rambam. The Yovedu means that now the guy wants to do tshuva. He realized like Gavalt, that was Machnes Perosi Vrek Hanovim, that was Mechavim Lachta Memeir. Now he comes and the rabbi's going knock and says, Rabbi, yeah, Gavalt, they violated the Mishnah in my cotton, Yovedu, what do I do now? So according to the Rambam, if the rabbi's strong and tough, he's got the koyach, and he's got to be mavid it. But if the rabbi's not interested in doing that, So what does the Baal Habayis do? According to the Rambam, he can eat the fruit. According to Rashi, he can't eat the fruit. According to Rashi, Yevedu means there's a knas, it's an abundant, they penalize him even b'di'evet. Like Mavashal B'Shabbos, they penalize him even b'di'evet, that he's not allowed to use the object that he did the malacha with. So there are differences of nuances between Rashi and the Rambam, just to how far this this Yevedu goes, but both of them agree that there's some there are ramifications or consequences after the fact, and that's included in the phrase Yevedu. So other Rishonim disagree lagamre. So if you take a look at the Magen Mishnah of the fifth of the Ramakamos, in Hukas Yomtev Perek Zayin Halacha Dalet, so in the fourth line, the end of the Magen Mishnah of Yamasha Kosev Rabbeinu Afkuna Salakol, Kosev Rabbeinu Moshe HaKoyev Vagaonim Farshim, Manichin Osola Abed, Umonin Osomi Lasos Osomalocha, Avalafkir Lakol Abdu Vidayim Lokonsu Akadashana. Says the Ramach, the Rambam mistranslated the phrase Yevedu. The Rambam thought that the word Yevedu means that someone's got to come and destroy what he did. He's got to be mafkir lakol, take that fruit and throw it into the middle of the street, let everybody take it. Says the Ramach, it's a going to make a different interpretation of Yevedu. Yevedu means that a guy was mechavim alach to the mayit, and now he's put on his overalls, he's going out there to the field and about to bring his fruit in. So the Rav comes and says to him, "No, mister, you're not allowed to do that." So the guy says, "What do you mean? It's a chadavra aved." So what's the response? Yoved. Let it be lost. Let it be a davra aved and finished. That's all Yovedu means. Yovedu means that we declare, we tell the person that you're not allowed to do it. Don't think that, okay, now you circumvented the halacha, now you cheated, and now we're going to let you do it at the end of the day, we're going to be nice because it's a davar aved. No, Yovedu, let the person suffer the loss. It's not for being Yovedu. Is there any indication that if the guy goes in and doesn't listen and does it anyway, we take it and throw it into the garbage? So, Mom, it's what I mean, the business of taking guys property away, throwing into the garbage. Says the Ramach, where does it say in the Mishnah anything about throwing into the garbage? Where does it say anything about the Machir Lakol? Where does it say anything about an Issa B'diyevet? After the fact, you're not allowed to use it. It doesn't say anything like that. Yevedu? Is that what Yevedu means? Yevedu means, because we're in the context of Melechas, quote unquote, Dover Aveh, so therefore we turn around to the guy and say, Yevedu, you have to suffer the loss. You goofed. You shouldn't have left it for Chol Hamoed. You hereby have to suffer the loss. If the guy doesn't listen,
but then if you say Yabed, he is the loss, not the fruit.
No, but the fruit is going to be lost. The vase is. I mean,
there will be decay.
The what?
There will be
decay.
There will be
the right.
It will
be lost.
There's a similar argument about the sweet, where you have to destroy.
Okay. So again, it's a little bit of a dictionary question. What is the word Yevedu here? Is Yevedu referring to the Gavra and Chatzah? Does Yevedu mean that we as the Gavra, the Beis, have to be Ma'abedit? Or does Yevedu mean that passively we tell the guy, you can't do it anymore? He doesn't listen, but yeah, but he's allowed to use it. There's no issue
there. There was a vigilante group that goes around and checks. Mm-hmm. But again, there's a big color. If they didn't catch him, if they didn't see him,
so according to Rashi, they don't catch him, it's still also. I mean, he's still destroyed. But according to the Rambam, you don't catch him.
But the bottom line is, he can use the stuff he collected.
No, according to Rashi, he can't. According to Rashi, he's not allowed to. Rashi's version of Yevedu is that there's an Isra Hanor b'dirabana and l'achra ma'isa. The Rambam says there's a chiv and beis din to get rid of it. And according to the Ramach and the Gaonim, there's not good. It's like Chomish Lav Lopez. He did that favor, now it's also not.
According to Ramach, it's like, if it's only done preemptively.
Right. Did they catch him about to do it? Once he did it, he did it.
Once he did it.
He did it, it's over. Right. So it's a done deal. Okay.
So what happened with him?
Yeah, that's a little bit different. That's a little bit different.
There's also a problem with it. You have to destroy it, or you give it to the coin. If time passed by.
Right. Right. Okay, similar idea. So the only thing that is clear, the Gemara says, is that if you take a look at the third Ma'amar Kamos, Bar Minei Rabbi Yirmiyah and Rabbi Zeirin, by cutting your base and your base, Kivir Malachtim and Moedu Meis. The guy was Mechavim Malachtim and Moedu. He's got already Erev Yontif. He could have done it, he decides not to. And then Nebuch, the guy dies Erev Yontif. So, Ma'al Sheik the Subban of Acharav. Do we throw a knas onto his sons? I mean, do we say to the children of Chol Hamoed that just as the father was also to do the Malacha now, so too, you're not allowed to do the Malacha. So says the Gemara, Imdim Salam Asarm Ozim Bechor Kansu Bero Acharav Mishim Disur Diyaraisa. If you say that there's a similar area, again, it has nothing to do with this particular case, but if a guy makes a movement, a Bechor, so now the halacha is they made a penalty on him, he's not allowed to shech for that Bechor anymore. If you say that in that case they made a knas even on the children, Mishim Disur Diyaraisa, the implication being that this is only an issur derabbanan. That was the line that Tosfos picked up upon. That the Gemara seems to say that whether or not we should make this knas is going to potentially depend on whether we're dealing with a deraisa derabbanan. And since we're not dealing with a deraisa here, therefore we're going to be a little bit more lenient, at least vis-a-vis the children. So lemais, that's the din. Halacha is that that kansu will sell, but lo kansu will be no achara. And again, depending whatever the knas is, either the knas is to tell them that tough luck, you have to not do the work, or the knas is that we're going to destroy it to you, or the knas is that it's going to be awesome or not. You plug in the details, Rashi, Rambam, the Ramach, whatever the consequences of the Mechabal Achim and Leir are, the Gemara ultimately concludes that the knas, these knasas were only made for him, not for his children, and the reason being because it's only in this of the Rabbanan, we're going back to how we began the Shem. Okay. So next week will be 6 o'clock. I hope it will be 6 o'clock.